Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. John?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, good. The sun's shining, right?
Yeah, it's all good.
Some of our snow is finally melting off over here.
Finally.
Well, we had snow. Yeah, it was snowing yesterday. I couldn't believe it. When's it going to stop, you know? Anyway, I have a question. I have a couple questions, but I'd like to, you know, I know you can answer them probably really, really fast. The anti-inflammatory, and when a person can't really exercise a lot, and I heard that the visceral fat can actually cause to have inflammation in your body. Is there a vitamin or an herb that a person can take to kind of reduce that?
Oh, great question. Yeah, there's specific inflammatory cytokines, they're called, that are produced by fat tissue. So it definitely leads to that. And probably we've been actually studying natural anti-inflammatories quite a bit at the clinic lately. And Tawny at the Tahoma Dispensary is probably our expert on this. But recently we kind of settle on a product that seems to be the most powerful and the most effective for as an anti-inflammatory. And it's a form of curcumin. And like I said, lately there's been curcumin wars between different companies to try and prove that theirs is the best. But I really feel like Integrative Therapeutics is a company that produces the best one. It's called Ther Curcumin, Ther Curcumin. And the absorption rate and the getting the anti-inflammatory ingredients of the herb and the spice is the toughest thing. So the research is now showing that this particular product, I think, is the most powerful. And you can even get away with one or two a day as a really good general anti-inflammatory throughout the day.
And that's at the Tahoma Dispensary. And where's that located, is Tahoma?
Well, the clinic is called Tahoma, and it's in Tukwila near Renton.
Right. They actually have a phone number?
Yes, it is. I should have that memorized. 888-893-6878. And again, that's called Thercumin, Ther Curcumin.
I got that wrote down. Okay, how about have you ever heard of a person having a hernia and it going away?
Like an inguinal hernia or abdominal or?
Well, it's kind of abdominal. You know, all this snow, I went out and shoveled three times, and it was like 2 days later, all of a sudden, like this pain, and it's located in between like your belly button and where your femur bone, right along that crease there. I mean, it was a big knot and just hurt like hell for a couple of days, and I figured it might have been like, you know, I'm 60 years old. Maybe, finally I've got a hernia or something. But you know what I mean? It did go away, right? Subsided. But I could actually feel, push on that, press on that area. You didn't press too hard. But you could actually feel like a knotted up deal there. And I mean, heck, I was thinking all kinds of things, but it did go away. But that's what I'm asking. Have you ever heard of something like that going away, having that happen and then going away?
Well, I think the good news is that it did go away, and I doubt if it was a hernia, because you're right, hernias typically do not go away. And you might have, torn a little muscle there that could have repaired itself over a few days. But yeah, I think it's probably not a hernia. But given the fact that you were shoveling snow, it's probably a muscle tear or a pulled muscle that was very, tight and sore.
Right. I used to do a lot of concrete, and I never kneeled down. I was always like, even roofing or anything, like, you know, I'd never kneeled down when I was ever doing any kind of work. I'd always, go from side to side, you know, and like in a squatting position. And, you know, I hadn't done that for a long time, but, you know, even when I shovel or do some work, I try to use my whole body and straight up and, you know, use a good posture when you're working. But, okay, so that was probably just a muscle knotted up there. I can see that. And
you know, what you could do, Charlie, is get some magnesium oil at the dispensary and rub that in, and that'll help to resolve that more quickly.
Well, you know, I called Dr. Wright a long time ago. You know, something funny about that is, you know, Epsom salt, it has a lot of magnesium in it, doesn't it?
Right, yeah, magnesium chloride.
Well, you know, it was last year, and, you know, I thought, I don't take baths. I take showers all the time. But I figured, you know, it's my birthday. You know, I'm going to get a bathtub of hot water and put some, you know, Epsom salt in there. And you know something? I got in there, and about 15, 20 minutes or so, and I got out of there. I had to go to an urgent care.
Oh my gosh!
Salt, because my left knee, had no idea what was wrong with it. I mean, from sitting in there, all of a sudden my left knee, the worst pain you ever wanted to feel. And I thought, what am I allergic to? Magnesium or Epsom salt?
And you didn't trip getting out of the tub, huh?
Oh no, none of that. I mean, and then they even sent me to a specialist, and the guy, of course, turns around and says, "Well, does it hurt?" No, it doesn't hurt now. It's 2 weeks later, right? Okay, goodbye. You know what I mean? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But, you know, I was kind of scared of this. You know, I'm not taking another one of those baths, you know? I mean, they actually had to give me, like, what was it, oxycodone for a while, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Just to knock this pain. But, yeah, there was no gout. There was no gout, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, the only thing I could imagine would be, you know, Epsom salts are so relaxing to the muscles. Maybe you relaxed certain muscles that caused other ones to strain. I'm not really sure what's going on there.
Sure. Now, I'm curious. The gal from Indiana, and I believe it was Indiana, or was it the one that had Brandy? Does she have some way of testing her own blood for her sugar level every couple of days or something? Is there such a thing?
Well, she was talking about the test called hemoglobin A1C. She dropped it from a pre-diabetic range down to normal.
Right.
By going on a semi-ketogenic diet.
Right.
Yeah.
You tell her, like, was she testing her own blood or something? I mean, what I mean is, like, usually blood tests that you get them, like, every 6 months or something like that, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm – don't quote me on this, but I think there are tabs that you can do similar to glucose tabs where it measures the approximate hemoglobin A1C. You can put a couple of drops of blood on there, but – I'm not sure how accurate that is or how readily available it is.
Right.
Most people are checking their blood sugar, you know, here and there after meals or first thing in the morning. So.
Sure. She was saying she was taking some berberine and it fluctuated from 5 to 5.8. And so a good level, for a 78-year-old woman, what would be a good level is 5.6 or 5.7? I mean, or should be below that?
Well, I don't think it matters what age. The more you have your blood sugar under control, the better health you're going to have, and it has just so many benefits to it. So I would try to. It's hard to get down to 5.2 like she did, but even if you were at 5.4 or 5.5 and definitely under 5.7. I think that's the break off. But having, 5.5 or 5.4, much better at you know, managing the insulin resistance? Because for a lot of people, you know, it's not a lack of insulin, it's just the insulin isn't as effective, and that's where the berberine works better.
I see.
Yeah.
You know,
Charlie, you want to hold on for just a second? We have to take a quick break, and then I'll take another question for you, okay? Let's go back to Charlie, who's been patiently waiting. Hello, Charlie. Still there?
Hi. Yes, I am, Dr. John. There was a product or a substance that Dr. Wright talks about that he's actually said that, about cancer or cancerous cells or nose deals. I mean, something that you can actually put on a suspected cancer area or something like that, and it has a possibility to maybe heal it. Do we have any idea what that was?
Well, I think you're referring to something called Curaderm, which is an eggplant extract. It's been shown to be quite effective for squamous cell and basal cell skin cancers, not so much melanomas, but definitely basal cell and squamous cell. So we no longer offer that at the dispensary, so you might have to purchase that online, but... And I like to warn people about it. It can be quite corrosive, like if you're applying it to the face or areas that may be, say, cosmetically a problem. But the Curaderm can be quite powerful. And, right. You know, if you have a skin cancer on your leg or something, then I would definitely consider it. But get some coaching on that and work with a doctor on how to use that, okay?
Is that a liquid or something that you could actually gargle with?
No, okay. It's not necessarily for throat cancer, although, under a surgeon's care, it might be indicated or used for something like that. But, no, like I say, I would use it only with medical coaching and
sure.
You know, it's quite powerful.
I didn't ask you this question, and you know, it's curcumin, the therapeutic curcumin. Is it got any interaction, or if a person is on Eliquis, would you think there'd be any problem using that if they're on Eliquis, a blood thinner?
No, I don't really see any problem with that. The main things are, you know, avoiding aspirin and ginkgo and vitamin E and too much fish oil and those kinds of things can aggravate bleeding, but not so much curcumin.
Okay, because I've heard of Coumadin, right?
That's different, yeah.
Right. Okay. I appreciate all your time and the other callers and that. Hopefully they've heard something I've asked or something like that helped them too.
So. Thank you, Charlie.